Go on to chapter 4. Governing principles for raising breakthrough believers. Amen. So we, you know, we had a revelation now. We're not breaking through. So, you know, we're just unlocking with our keys. All right. Governing principle for raising breakthrough believers. To raise means to cause or help to rise to a standing position, to lift higher, to place higher in rank or dignity, elevate, to increase in strength or intensity, to cause to rise in level or amount. So you are a center of influence, and as a center of influence, you have a circle of influence. And so a group of people, you know, God has assigned you to influence. So your life assignment consists of reproducing, imparting, and pouring yourself into others. So now as we study this finishing generation, we have to keep in mind that we are being trained and developed into breakthrough believers so that we in turn can impart, train, and develop others, breakthrough believers, in our circle of influence, who will in turn impart, train, develop those in the circle of their influence, and so on. So the key to raising these breakthrough believers is apostolic wisdom. Now, apostolic wisdom is necessary and vital, vitally important, and it must be imparted into our hearts so that we can develop accuracy in reproducing this finishing generation of breakthrough believers. All right, so tonight we're going to look at the governing principles of, number one, developing, training people in kingdom principles and lifestyles. Number two, making people wholesome in all aspects of life to manifest Christ-likeness. So as we start off with this first principle, developing and training people in kingdom lifestyle. So developing, training, both of these are two different matters, but both are equally important and necessary in training breakthrough believers. All right, so the question is, you know, what does it mean to develop and train? To develop means to nurture what is already possessed and help bring to full maturity, usage, and maximum results for the benefit of kingdom. Now, when we start talking about the kingdom, you know, one of the things that I see in the body of Christ is that we're really trying to operate in the kingdom with a democratic mindset. Mm-hmm. And so this is really what's causing so much of the problem, so much friction, because, you know, in the kingdom, the king rules. It's not you voting and your opinion and that and all these other things and stuff. So because we have this democracy kind of mindset, we really don't really understand kingdom and have kingdom, real kingdom values, because, you know, we're trying to operate on a system that we're really not accustomed to. So, you know, I say this, you know, how there's nowhere in the world in the kingdom you can talk about the king. You can talk about the king in a negative way and you wouldn't receive some kind of punishment for it. You know, but, you know, we have a president in a democracy, so folk just say all kind of crazy stuff. But the thing about it is, now, the scripture talk against that. And you got so many big ministers who can get up and say things about the president and that kind of thing. What happened to the scripture that talks about not speaking against dignities? Right. Mm-hmm. What happened to the scripture that talks about how we're supposed to pray for those that are in authority so that we can live a long, a peaceable life? What happened to those scriptures? You understand? So it's really because we really don't understand what a kingdom is about. A kingdom in a democracy, you know, it's led by the people for the people and that sort of thing and stuff. But a kingdom is different. A kingdom is ruled by the king. So a kingdom is ran by a theocracy. Theocracy is God rule. Yeah. So when we don't understand that, you know, we're trying to operate. So what God is doing, God is not trying to raise up a person, people in every generation. God is raising up generations of people. And then in turn, God expects those people who he raised up to pour into people so that this thing can continue to go. And so that God doesn't have to raise up somebody every generation to do what he has called us to do and then slow down the work and that kind of thing and stuff. So when we understand that, so and another thing is the reason why people really don't have honor and respect the way they're supposed to for leadership is because, you know, the way our culture is set up. And so, you know, you being a church, you know, and under a pastor, and pastor saying certain things and stuff, and you just already had your mind made of how you want to do it. You know, for years, traditional churches slowed down the work of God because people weren't listening to God. All people doing is going by their own opinions. And so it's still got a whole lot of that going on today. You understand? And so we're never going to really be able to operate like kingdom citizens unless we really really understand the kingdom concept or have a kingdom mindset. We're not going to be able to have it. See, it's just like, you know, I'm here teaching in the school of ministry. I am helping apostle to fulfill the vision that God gave him. I don't have an agenda here. You understand what I'm saying? This, I'm following his agenda. And see, that's something that people, as it relates to the kingdom, people really have not really been able to grasp a hold of because everybody wants their own thing and everybody trying to go their own way. And nobody, they say like this, too many chiefs and not enough Indians. I remember they say too many chiefs and not enough Indians. I'm going to take my squaw and move on away from here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But so we're talking about developing their character and personality so that they can bring forth their gifts and talent and grace in wholesome living. Holiness being one with God in word, thought, and deed. Now, holiness is a mandate, not an option. That's another thing. Now, there's another reason why God has set up the system the way he set it up so that somebody can pour into us and somebody can be an example. You understand? Jesus is our historic example. You got to have a contemporary example. You have to have. You can say all you want to say talking about, you know, well, I'm just following Jesus. But you wasn't walking with Jesus when Jesus was on earth. So I need him as a historic example, but I have to have a contemporary example also. And I got to have an example of somebody who walking out holiness. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Praise the Lord. So now, and that's one of the things that I've got from Apostle years ago. When I first came to the school of ministry, he was sharing some things. And I said, my goodness, man, I said, this is who I need to be following right here, man. My goodness. You know, of course, before I came to the school of ministry, I was at a ministry where the pastor wouldn't let me come to the school. I wanted to come here, but he wouldn't let me come. And the reason why he wouldn't let me come is because there was something that was going on down here that he was afraid that if I got down here, I may not come back. I think he was right. Praise the Lord. I think he was right. Praise God. Hallelujah. So to train people means to put skills, patterns, and accurate procedures, the apostolic blueprint, into their lives so that they can carry out their kingdom assignment effectively. Take that which was imparted in the spiritual realm and bring it into the natural realm by practical application of spiritual principles. So by developing the person, he becomes effective. But by training the person, his work becomes efficient. So now, the inability of pastors to train people to live the kingdom lifestyle constitutes the basic problems in the church. One reason why pastors are not training folk, because pastors not training themselves. Because most pastors that I came up with, none of them had spiritual fathers. None of them had anybody to pour into them. You know, I remember when I first started pastoring, you know, I was it was on the job training. You know, I had no idea what I was doing. But, you know, God always have a way to make sure that he puts you in the right vineyard so that you can glean in the right field. So my pastor told me, he said, now, when he handed over the reins to me, he said, now, we were part of another organization, big organization. And he told me, he said, look, you don't need to follow this organization because it hadn't really done anything good for me. He said, you need to go down to Darrow. Pray. The thing about it is, people didn't know that, you know, because it was a traditional church, Baptist church. They didn't know, though, that God had raised up a prophetic voice that he needed to speak into my life to point me in a direction where I'm supposed to go. So the Lord says to tell me to come to Darrow. He's the one that put me in the position of pastor. And then God have him to tell me, you go to Darrow. This is who you need to follow. So, you know, I really believe the Lord loved me. I really, really believe that the Lord loved me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because there's a whole lot of people who I saw on the way who weren't really trying to follow a spiritual father. You know, they just thought, they just toughed it out. You know what I'm saying? You know, just, you know, this is what, they had one man, I told him, I said, man, look, you need to get you a spiritual father because, but he felt like he was a good preacher. I mean, you know, he could hoop, sing, the whole nine yards. And boy, he could preach and stuff, man, have the hair stand up on your head, but it wouldn't have been motion. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. But one of the things that he had in his life, he lacked character. Didn't have no character. Now I want to make a statement to you. There's many times that you can have gifts and talents. You can have gifts and talents. Your gifts and talents can take you places that your character won't let you stay. Yes, you with me? You can have all the gifts and the talents and stuff, and you can get in a prominent position, but your character is not gonna let you stay there. Unless you develop character first. And the only way you're gonna really develop character, you're gonna have to have somebody snatch the slack out of you. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody telling you, you know, when not nobody kissing up to you, but somebody that's going to be telling you. You understand what I'm saying? That's one thing that, you know, I say this all the time. And then, you know, because I'm from the because I came out of the street, I watch everything. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? When I go in a restaurant to eat, I never sit with my back to the door. I always have to watch the door. Because I'm watching everything. I'm watching everything that move. Anything that come in there that look like it ain't right, I see it. And I'm going to be watching it the whole time I'm sitting there eating. And so I watch everything. So now, see, I'm not the kind of person who, I couldn't be following an apostle. Watch this now. I couldn't follow an apostle and I'm giving him I'm sowing into his life, and he not checking me because of what I'm giving him. See, I'm not the kind of person, because see, I would see that. And that would run me off quicker than anything else. But see, the pastor ain't like that. I don't care how much I put $10,000 in his hand and he jacked me up as soon as I put it in there. And see, that's how, see, I have to have somebody in my life that can speak into my life. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't go around, you know, having no kind of chip on my shoulder that if he say this here, you know, I'm leaving him. Oh, no, have you lost your mind? This is the person who God has placed in my life to, amen, to teach me character, to teach me how to, amen, teach me how to carry the torch. You understand what I'm saying? This is who God has placed in my life. So why in the world am I going to allow a rebuke, a correction? That's another thing, man. That's another thing. Lord have mercy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A whole lot of folk talk about they honor folks and that kind of thing and stuff. You don't really know whether you honor or not, really, unless your honor is tested.
No.
Say, oh, I honor my man and my woman of God. Really? Let's see you get corrected. Let's see you get reprimanded. Let's see you be demoted. Then we can talk whether or not you really honor your man and your woman of God. See, I've heard people say this, you know, man of God, I never leave you. You the person that God called me. And then all of a sudden when they get offended, because see, watch this. Especially if somebody give you something, somebody sowing it to you, you understand what I'm saying? And they feel like that's supposed to control you. And then as soon as you make a wrong move and stuff, well, they say, well, I keep my money. Didn't nobody ask you for it in the first place. You know what I'm saying? So we got to, listen to me, class. We have to, and this is the heart of the apostle, is really to raise up giants. This is the vision that God gave him, to raise up giants, to send them out into the land. And to take over. And so that's why you're in this school. You're in this school to be prepared for kingdom advancement. You're not here just to say that you came to Word of Life School Training Center. You're not here just for that. You are here because God has, even you that are watching that are in other states, you've been handpicked by God to be a part of this school because there's something specific that's coming out of this place. There is a voice. There is a sound that's coming from this place that's going to shake the nation. Yeah. Hallelujah. Not going to shake the nation. It's going to shake nations. You understand? So that's why we cannot fail like previous generations has failed. If you look at previous generations, you will see that many of them, you will not see succession. You'll not see, you know, the generals of old, the people who God used back in the day. Are y'all with me here? Watch this. Because God always, before God always had a Timothy to be trained by Paul.
That's right.
He always had a Joshua that would be trained by Moses. You understand what I'm saying? He's always had an Elijah that would be trained by Elijah. But I want you to think about something. Think about Elijah and all of those that was in the school of the prophets, all those other guys. Why in the world those other guys followed from afar off? And Elijah followed real close. And the thing about it is, you know, they may have ridiculed him or whatever and stuff, but guess what? He got the goods. So if I see this pattern that's been running out through the scriptures of men being trained and developed by other men, then that means that I need to get my butt under somebody who, amen, somebody who carries some weight. Hallelujah. When somebody has the kind of track record that Apostle has, and have accomplished the thing that he's accomplished, then you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that, hey, man, this man got the goods. And so I need to set myself up under him. Now, watch this. There have been men that told me, say, look, the Lord told me that I'm supposed to follow Dr. Thompson. This is what I told him. I said, you just better make sure that the Lord told you, because you're not about to get no prestigious seats. You're not about to get, you know, some kind of big recognition from him. You're going to have to come and set your behind down and get it just like everybody else. So when you've been in other organizations, you play these games and you think that, okay, this is a thing where, you know, all I need to do is get close enough to him, and then, you know, I can be promoted, and then I can really set forth my agenda. No, you won't. Not here. You understand what I'm saying? So that's why whenever people come into LTMA, you know, people try to accuse us of being LTMA police, and we are. But when they come in here and they acting up, hold on, you are not going to act up in here. No, because we're not going to let you act up in here. Because, amen, we have a mandate. We are covering our apostle. Yes, right. And so when you come in here and you come in here, you're going to straighten your butt up. Yes. I don't care what you did in the last organization you was in. You're not going to be clowning over here. You're not going to be coming over here chasing no women. You're not going to be coming over here playing no money game. We're not going to put up with it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You understand what I'm saying? Look, listen to me. I have been trained by the apostle. Yes, yes. And so it is my job. When people come into LTMA, you understand what I'm saying? The 12 that he has all around him, it's our job to make sure that people know, all right, okay, this is the way we're going to do it. These are the rules of engagement. If you don't want to go with this, go ahead and find you somewhere else. We ain't got no problem. We have no problem with you going nowhere else. Amen. We don't have no problem with that. But we just don't want you coming here with that foolishness. Amen. And watch this. Whatever ministry you're a part of, you should be the same way about your man of God. You shouldn't let folk come in there and just do anything and stuff. And then you just kind of agree with them. Because really, I'm not really trying to make no friends. This is about kingdom assignment, a kingdom agenda. You understand what I'm saying? So when it comes down to doing what we're supposed to do, so watch this. The people that come into LTM, let me show you what happened one time. One time I had this guy who we was all you know, buying apostle shoes and stuff. So the man told me, say, man, the Lord told me to buy you a pair of shoes. I said, no, you're not. The Lord told me, now we buying apostle shoes. All of a sudden, he wanted to talk about the Lord and told him, see, I've been trained well enough to know that I'm not going to let the devil hookwink me. And have folk talking about, you know, well, the Lord told me to buy you these shoes and do this here and stuff for you. No, I don't even see you doing it for an apostle. Don't be coming here trying to look up to me. A lot of times folks try to come through the back door. So people got to be trained and developed. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. I said they got to be trained and developed. Praise God. And so God will use you in the circle of influence that you have. See, just like, okay, with all the people that's here at Word of Life, if everybody really understand the agenda and the mandate that God has on his ministry, and then the fear, the influence that they have, the circle of influence they have, amen, if they make sure that those people who they can influence understand that this is what we do when we come here. This is our assignment when we're here, you understand? And when we're away from here, amen, we still have the same assignment. And when people understand that, see, this is how God has really designed for the church to really take over. We're supposed to take over everything. I'm talking about the world. Now, I'm going to give you a little indication here. Now, when I first started coming down to the School of Ministry, I don't know if some of y'all may not know, but down the road, down deep down in that road, they had a little church down back in there. And so that's where the apostle started at. And all this was nothing but woods. nothing but trees and pastures. And after a while, then he decided, the Lord gave him this property here, and they decided to build. None of this stuff was around here. The Pelican Point, none of that stuff was around here. It just a whole lot of just field and stuff. You understand what I'm saying? But because of what God had called him to do, now God's subdivision is being raised up.
Yes.
It got people right down the street in the subdivision. They don't even know why they moved down here. They really moved down here to connect with the apostle.
Yes.
But they just don't know it yet.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? Gonzalez didn't have all the hotels and stuff that they had before the assignment that God gave the man. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Everybody had to go to Baton Rouge and New Orleans to stay.
Right.
But because what God had was doing here in Darrow, God had to make sure that he was building up things all around here. And then the apostle got 600 acres of land, word of life. It got 600 acres of land, all that paid for. Everything paid for. Man, look here. Somebody better recognize there's something about to break loose around here. Somebody better open their eyes and see that the Lord is really has his hand on this place and on this ministry. Praise God. And on the apostle. Y'all with me? Yes, indeed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I got a few more minutes. Let me see if I can get a little further here. Praise God.
Glory to God. Glory.
Hallelujah. I'm gonna say this again. God has handpicked you to be in this school. Hallelujah. You ought to be saying, Lord, you have to really love me. Lord, you must really love me. Yeah, he does. See, so you can't take it like, I don't care how many schools that you had to pass by to get here. This is the place where you're supposed to be. Hallelujah. I said, this right here, this is the place you're supposed to be. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So so there's a lack of character in the pulpit. What's on the head flows down to the body. What's ever in the pulpit shows up in the pews. There's no such thing as a holiness gene. We're not born with holiness. It's not a part of our natural DNA. Holiness, godly character, and integrity must be taught. It's a learned behavior. Hallelujah. And we must be developed and trained. This does not come automatically just because we were saved. So Matthew 5 and 48, Amplified, you therefore must be perfect, growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character, having reached the proper height of stature and integrity as your heavenly Father is perfect. Praise God. So, that's why you have to be able to see, the Bible say, know them that labor among you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That don't mean to follow them every step, that they making stuff. But you ought to know the person who God has placed in your life to lead you. If you had never passed by the apostle house, you need to pass by there. You need to know that God is doing something in this man's life. You understand what I'm saying? Take time and go around Word of Life and stuff and see all the things and stuff that God done. You need to know them that labor. He's been laboring. You need to know, amen, his heart. That's what God wants you to know. God wants you to know the person's heart, because when you find out a person's heart,
yes, sir.
So I can be corrected. No matter, I don't care. I don't care how apostle come across. He don't have to sweeten it up for me. He don't have to be patting me on the back. He ain't got to do none of that for me. You know why? Because I know his heart.
Yes,
I know he want me to win.
Yes,
I know he want the best for me. You understand?
Yes.
So the correction and whatever it is that I need, we've said this for years, Lord, shape me and mold me and make me to whatever you want me to be.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But you didn't know that God was going to use a man to do it. Praise the Lord. Man, apostle will cut me. Boy. Oh, Jesus. Praise the Lord. The Lord is molding me and shaping me.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Cut me. Oh, praise God. See, because I don't know anybody, if you've ever seen a bricklayer, whenever he's laying bricks, sometimes he get to a spot where he got to cut a brick in order to make it fit.
Right.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you're a little bit too big for that space. And you got to be cut. But you can't get offended when you get cut. But because it's really for my good. And it's about the bigger picture and not really about me. And we got to know it. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. I got a few more minutes here. All right. Believers must be trained to live the kingdom lifestyle so that the Father is glorified and honored. Much of these lifestyle principles allow God to build into our lives his nature, his desires, his dealings. You still here?
Yes.
All right. Okay, so if everybody have to understand that you're not where you're going.
Yes, sir.
Right. You are not the way that God has designed for you to be. You hadn't arrived yet.
Right.
And so that's going to take some training, and that's going to have to take some development in order for you to get there.
Yes,
so I have to yield to God's dealing. Mm-hmm. See, watch this. You know, I have had the privilege of following three men. I had three pastors. I never jumped churches. The Lord did this. The Lord supernaturally did this. All these pastors sent me to the next pastor. But guess what I found out? I found out that I served three pastors. Those three pastors was training and developed me so that I could follow the apostle.
Yes.
It took three pastors to train me to follow the apostle.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, watch this. All right. I remember, if any of y'all came to Prosperity Revival, I was supposed to preach one day, and the apostle said, no, I'm preaching the whole thing. Watch this, I'm going to show you something. See, I had been trained years ago. My pastor used to let me preach on the third Sunday. I was the third Sunday preacher, you know what I'm saying? And so the third Sundays, you know, I'm young and stuff, you know, on third Sunday, and look like, you know, the church start filling up on third Sundays and stuff, you know. So, you know, I think, you know, people coming to hear me, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And so the church full and stuff, man, you know, and, you know, getting down to the last song before I get up, get ready to preach. And my pastor would reach over there and tell me, say, I got it this Sunday. And here it is, watch this. And I said, Lord, I've been up all night praying and stuff, Lord. And the Lord said, yeah, that's right. And what I gave you was for you.
Amen.
See, a lot of times we think God giving us stuff for the people. God giving us stuff for us.
Yes.
But suppose I didn't have that kind of experience. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Then, you know, I'd have been apostle say, you know, you're not praying. Oh, you know, my mouth poked out and that kind of thing. You know, I got my church people coming. That kind of, man, I don't care nothing about that. All I want to do, watch this. When you following somebody, they have to be comfortable to follow God the way God is leading them.
Yes, sir.
Not being intimidated by you or anything that you're doing for them. Ooh. You understand what I'm saying? And so, and this just don't fall on you. You have to be trained and developed for this. See, I want apostle any way that the Lord is leading him. If he tell me this year, I'm going to do this day, and then come back the next day, say, you not, then guess what? I am fine with that, and I'm rolling with you, apostle. I'm rolling with you. And guess what? Nobody better not come to me and say nothing crazy either. Not only will I get them straight on the spot, but then I'll tell them, okay, all right, I want you to say that same thing to apostle. Hallelujah. See, listen to me. Years of training and development, that's why you can't be in a place and not allow that person who God has placed in your life to train and develop you. Because really, they are preparing you for something that God's going to do in the future. My goodness, man. You know, I can see so clearly, you know, the things and stuff that was going on. Look, watch this. Not only that, I used to go to my old pastor's house on a Saturday evening. You know, I was working during the week, so on a Saturday evening, I go sit with him every Saturday evening. What I was doing, he was imparting to me, getting me ready for to pastor the church. I had no idea none of that was taking place. I didn't go over there for that. You understand what I'm saying? But God just would leave me on Saturday evenings to go over and just sit down and just fellowship with him. Praise God. Now watch this. So I'd be sitting there for a little while, and all of a sudden, he tell me, he say, don't you have a wife at home? You know what that mean? That mean time for you to get your butt up out of here. He said, don't you have a wife at home? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, you need to go see about her. Praise the Lord. I've been around the pastor. He said, okay, all right, time to go. I said, I've been trained. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Just get up. Just happy. I'm going. Glory to God. Amen. My welcome. Amen. I wore my welcome out. I'm gone. You understand what I'm saying? So, see, we really have to be developed our character and that sort of thing and stuff till we really flowing with God. God, whatever way you want to flow, that's the way I'm going. Whatever way my leader is going, that's the way I'm going. Praise the Lord. Are y'all still with? Watch this. This is something that you have to really, really know a person's heart. All right. Apostle can get on, he could get on me, and he could be wrong about it. He could, but that wouldn't affect me. Okay, all right. See, because I know that he's always trying to please God. He's never done that. He's never been wrong about no correcting you, dummy. I'm just saying he could be, and guess what? It wouldn't affect me. Hallelujah. All right, that's my time. Finish reading the fourth chapter. We'll jump back in there next week. Praise God. Hallelujah.